All right, let's turn again to Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Let's hear the word of God. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing. Once again, as we open your word, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. We've been spending the last several weeks looking at the church and the people that make up the church. And Paul's giving counsel to Titus and encouraging him to carry that on and teach it to the people that he comes in contact with. And now he comes down to another section that was common in their day, not so much common to ours today, but people that still needed to be addressed. No one is born knowing exactly the life road that they're going to travel. We learn from the scriptures that it is God who orders our steps. But we can't say with any certainty exactly where those steps are going to lead. It's God who's ordered them. It's God who directs. It's God who's taking us. We follow him. Who comes into the world with the conscious knowledge that they'll even grow into adulthood? Who knows at the time of their birth what vocation or profession that they'll pursue? Will they be a doctor? Will they be a lawyer? Will they be a pastor? Will they be involved in some type of labor? Will they be a manager, a nurse? Will they be a father? Will they be a mother? Or will they be a slave? The image that the word slavery brings to mind is usually not a pleasant one. In these United States, it's unfortunate, but there's practically not a day that goes by where someone doesn't remind us that our nation once condoned the practice of slavery. And it doesn't rest with that. More often than not, we're reminded not that we only practiced and condoned slavery, but we're reminded of the evil slave owner who habitually abused his slaves. It is most uncommon, very rare in fact, that we are told of men like George Washington, who kept slaves, but kept them very well. His slaves were treated very well, that they were cared for. Now somehow or another, that loses something because they were still slaves. But nevertheless, Washington understood that they were human beings and treated them accordingly, with dignity. Seldom are we reminded, because there's a political purpose, that slavery predated the United States of America by thousands of years. You know, outside of the movies, I mean, every Easter, ABC shows you the Ten Commandments. I've yet to see the whole movie from start to finish. You know, it's so long, you know, you got to sleep somewhere. You got to get a nap somewhere in that film just to get to the end, right? But apart from that film and apart from a whole Bible teaching, people forget that Israel was a slave in Egypt. And slavery predated that. Men kept slaves from the time of the fall. If they could take someone, if one man could take another man into his power, if it was, as you would, he'd do it. Does anyone even dare mention that the practice of slavery continues even to this day? It wasn't horribly long ago that I was engaged in a conversation with a young lady, a black lady from New York, and she has a testimony of being a sister in Christ. And prior to that one occasion, the exchanges that we had were good. But she brought up the topic of white privilege, and so I engaged her in it, and I tried to, you know, say, look, what we have is a sin problem. That is where we can resolve the issues. Well, she had another friend who piped up, and she jumped in, and she called me everything she could get away with. And one thing led to another, and I'm no longer friends with that person. People don't want, they have an agenda. They don't want to hear that evil men to this day keep slaves. In Africa, in the nations of Africa, not all of them, but in some of them, the tribes go in and they conquer other villages. When they conquer a village, they take the inhabitants in as slaves and use them. They don't want to hear about that sort of thing. Some people have described the institution of slavery as a monster abomination. It's a form of tyranny. And frankly, why wouldn't it be? A slave was not regarded as a person, but in fact was the property of a person. A slave was no better in the eyes of society than a cow or a horse or any other kind of property, real property, that could be bought and sold. It was just carried on that way. A slave had no will of his own. He was subject to someone else's authority. And a slave did not freely offer his labor. His work came by coercion. He was forced to do whatever it was the master wanted him to do. We sometimes have moments in our modern day employment where we say we're being treated like slaves, where we're coerced to do whatever the job is that the boss wants us to do. Rightly or wrongly, we still have the freedom to walk away from it. We can go do something else. That's a chance you take. The slave didn't have that opportunity. If a slave ran, there was dire consequences to be paid. Even in the best situations, having the kindest owners, to be a slave was not one's usual ambition. That's not what we taught our children, that, hey, when you grow up, you want to be a slave. That wasn't what we did. In fact, Paul, when he wrote his letter, the first letter to Timothy, he described slavery as being under a yoke, a burden that was usually borne by animals. The nature of slavery was an oppressive one. And yet, slaves find freedom in Christ. As we see from just these letters, there were slaves who were part of the church. There were slaves who were slaves in physicality, but free in their spirit, because they were free in Christ. And Paul has an exhortation for them. Bondservants, be obedient to their own masters. Be obedient to your own masters. Again, that put a limitation on who God was requiring them to obey. There was one man who was their master, their owner. That was the man that the slave was to be obedient to. That person who God, for his purpose, has placed in that role over you. That man could have been a believer or an unbeliever. Whether he was a good person or not so much. Whether they were gentle or whether their demeanor was rough. These were the people that God has placed you under, and those are the men that you are to be obedient to. He says, yield to them. Comply with them. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he spoke about slaves. And he said, be obedient to your masters with fear and trembling and with sincerity. Obeying them as you would obey Christ. What a charge. Obey that master as you would obey Christ. And it's in that light that he says, he goes on further, he says, to be well-pleasing in all things. Be eager to please in whatever they ask of you. Be eager to please. As long as what is asked of you does not violate the law of God, embrace it. Do all to the glory of God. Give it all that you have. Don't fight it. When we enthusiastically take on the demands that are made of us, the reality of Christ in our life is demonstrated. You see, we can gather people around. We can talk to them. We can tell them about how much they need Jesus. We can tell them about the difficulties of their life because of the curse of sin. But then if we go on parading ourselves about just as they are, what effect does it have? But when one who we may look at as the boss makes a request of us, makes a demand of us, and we go at it enthusiastically, we reinforce our Christian testimony. It's not just talk. And by the way, he says, don't backtalk. Well, now that just takes all the fun out of it. You know, human nature being what it is, and living the life of a slave especially, could make verbally firing back an easy exercise. How often, even if it's just a little thing, do we find ourselves, somebody says something to you and you just say, oh yeah? They say, get out there and clean the barn. Ah, your mother's mustache. You know? How come we just don't shut up and do it? Because that's not our nature. We still want to glorify ourselves in some way. We still want some personal edification. We don't want to be humble. We don't want to just do. We want to talk back. The slave is counseled here to hold his tongue and not to obey his natural whim. You see, when we shoot off our mouth, it shows that really no matter what testimony that we've given, we're really not any different. We're the same as they are. And they'll say, you know what, you may be Christian, but so what? You may go to church on Sunday, but so what? You don't really live any different than I do. You don't really talk any different than I do. He says, be well-pleasing in all things and don't talk back. And then he says, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. Pilfering. That's a word we don't use much. You ever gone down to the store and pilfered? See, not that you know of, right? How easy is it to rationalize just a little larceny? Just to steal a little bit. We can rationalize that away. Think about it. I mean, what harm can it do? A person who was a slave had everything taken from them. They lived their lives at the mercy of the master. He's taken your freedom, your dignity as a person. You get whatever ration he deems acceptable. So when his back is turned, you know, why not take a little? Why not take a little bit extra? He's never going to miss it. Paul says, don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. Or maybe you're in a situation where you're not directly taking something. Maybe what you're doing is wasting what belongs to the master. That, in effect, is stealing. You say, hey, turn that water faucet off when you're not using it. You know, don't just turn it on and leave it run. What difference does it make? Sure, it makes the water meter go around. He's going to pay a couple cents more on his water bill. But that, you know what? He can afford it. He's rich. I'm the measly servant. We need to be good stewards regardless of our position in life, of what's under our charge. If God has made us a slave, we're to be about the business of taking care of what belongs to the master. And not simply just avoiding stealing from him. Not pilfering. Showing all good fidelity. Being honest. We should live our lives in such a way that our honesty is unquestionable. And truthfully, sometimes being honest, it may mean that we have to admit we made a mistake. We had an error in judgment. Might be kind of embarrassing. But if we are honest in all that we do and all that we are, we can never be concerned that someone can legitimately accuse us of a fraud. This applies to all of us. And yet this council was directed at the lowest level of people in society, the slave. If you are honest in all of your doings, you will gain a reputation of being a faithful servant. Not pilfering, showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Why do this? Why comply? Sure, Paul, you've given the word, you've given the message, you've given the charge. This is what we should do. We should be honest. We should be obedient. Why, as a slave living such a lowly life, would I resist the impulses of my old nature? What can I gain? Well, the reason is these slaves were Christians and they have a new nature. They're not only bound by an old nature, they have a new nature. They may be a slave in the physical sense, but no longer are they a slave to sin. Let not sin have dominion over you. We can only be counseled that if it's a possibility. And so we strive daily to overcome. We daily try to put to death that old man who raises up. And live in the new nature which we possess as Christian people. When I obey my master without back talking, when I am eager to be pleasing and honest in all that I do, I glorify God. I adorn his doctrine. This gospel that I proclaim is true. When I live according to the way that God says for me to live, I am an ornament to this gospel. I'm one of those sparkly things that hangs on a tree at the Christmas time. Only I enhance the gospel message. People see the gospel through me. It's this behavior that Paul has counseled that God may use to open the dead ears of a man to hear his word. So regardless of our status in life, we take this counsel to heart. We be obedient to those we are called to be obedient to. We enthusiastically embrace our tasks for the glory of God. We hold our tongue when it would be running about all by itself if you let it. We do these things for the glory of God. We do these things so that when we preach the gospel, when we give the gospel to someone that we come in contact with, they see a living testimony, a true testimony of the risen Savior, and not just somebody talking. Not just somebody selling you a good life now. We need not be slaves to sin. But we should desire to be slaves to the Almighty God. to be totally in submission to Him. That God works His will through us. That we not be rejecting of His call in our lives. That we certainly don't backtalk the Almighty. We love Him. We embrace His desire for us. And then we bear witness as true ambassadors for Christ in this world. Let's pray.